It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I'm joined as always by Gemma Konecka.
Hello.
And of course, by our boss, Ian K.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
They still work here.
We do. We have to let him come on the podcast every so often. He's demanded that, and if we don't, then he'll fire us. It's very uncomfortable.
These takes are too hot to hold in.
I think you all probably care about this if you're listening. Gemma and I have been sitting next to Ian for the past couple days. Normally we sit in different parts of the office, but we've been very close. We're maybe a little slap happy. Things have gotten weird.
Yes, we've learned a lot about each other, I feel like, in the last 2 days.
Yeah, Ian doesn't know how to eat oranges, for example.
It was a Tangelo.
We have a lot to get to today that is more than just me making fun of my boss. We'll talk about Aaron Judge. He was on The Tonight Show. A-Rod, another Yankee, has made a return to pop culture, although he hasn't really left pop culture.
No, he's never left.
Eric Sogard's daughter had an adorable moment that we'll go over. And then Fish took over a baseball field. What? That's real. That happened. And then we'll play everybody's favorite game. I think this is America's favorite game show. Meal or no meal. But before we get to all of that.
Meal.
Before we get to all of that, David Ross is still on Dancing with the Stars.
Still.
And in fact, could win. He is in the final. He had a routine. He did the foxtrot set to Frank Sinatra's You Make Me Feel So Young. Who wants to sing it? Does anybody want to sing it?
Do you want to sing it? Is this like, are we trying? Is this like where you fish?
I definitely don't want to sing it, so no. But he did that dance with his partner, Lindsay Arnold. They got a 34 out of 40, which is actually one of the lower scores of the remaining finalists. But that doesn't matter to Cubs Nation, does it?
No.
Because David Ross is going to power through, and he could actually win Dancing with the Stars. Ian, do you think that this would be more exciting than winning the World Series?
No.
Joe, do you think this would be more exciting than winning the World Series?
I mean, has it been 108 years since anyone has won Dancing with the Stars? Like, no. Do you?
Yes.
Oh, why?
Because it's an it's relatively individual competition. If you are one of 25 players on a roster, it's diminished. Whereas if you're one of two people on a roster, it's the Stars, so really he's the person who wins. So I think it's more exciting.
What is there a trophy?
Yeah.
Or it's a mirror ball trophy.
That's what it's called.
Like a disco ball?
A mirror ball. How dare you call
you
it a disco
it
ball?
The ceiling
How
and
dare you?
Lights off?
I think for ballroom dancers, that's a pejorative to call it disco.
Apologies to all of our ballroom
okay,
dancing fans.
But you know, I would love to see David Ross do a disco routine. I would be
I'm
really
surprised
into that.
They didn't do that.
Well, because I don't, you know, this was a fun dance, whatever. But as I've said many times on this podcast, anytime that he goes more conventional, it's just like not as fun to watch.
Yeah.
And this was cute. It was an adorable dance. I liked the top hat and tails. Good touch.
That's good with Sinatra, too.
Yeah. But just like, you know, themes, spectacle, do that.
That was some high-level criticism from Gemma Konecka.
You know I just want pyrotechnics, like, all the time.
I know. Well, did you see, Ian, we haven't had you on since, I think we haven't had you on since we got the real abs as opposed to the fake abs.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm very excited. I hope he brings them back for the finals.
The fake abs?
I think he should. He should bring the
well,
fake abs
Well, as I've
back.
Said many times, this is basically Eurovision, except for you're allowed to vote for your own country, and all the Cubs fans do is just, you know, I mean, like, how is Simone Biles eliminated? It's ridiculous.
Eurovision just happened.
Yes, and it was amazing.
Give me the 10-second Eurovision recap.
Portugal won with a kind of boring ballad, which is a shame because Ukraine's set piece was a giant head with laser eyes.
Okay, cool.
That's a good recap.
That was a good recap. That was 10 seconds. That was better than the recap that'll happen at the end of the show. Let's be honest. All right, well, shout out to David Ross. Hopefully he pulls it out and wins at the end. That would be pretty exciting.
And then you will be right. You will have successfully predicted that he won, and I will be wrong because I said there is no way.
You know, I don't keep track of such things.
I said Simone Biles is going to win, and she's already off.
Yeah.
I'm
a big enough person that I don't care really about who's proven right or wrong in certain situations. But you know, if we needed somebody to be an independent arbiter as to who was right or who was wrong, do you know who we could go to? A judge. Perhaps Aaron Judge. who was on The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon. He wore a disguise and he interviewed Yankee fans. You may remember that Matt Harvey did something similar. He wore a disguise and talked to some of his fans. This was many years ago. And I'm not going to make that joke. But Aaron Judge did this on The Tonight Show. A lot of them didn't recognize him. Even though he was a lot of their favorites, mm-hmm. which I thought was kind of interesting. There was one person who was like, he asked, you know, how many homers do you think Aaron Judge will hit? And the fan was like, 40. And then he was like, sure, why not 60? It was good. I liked it. Would you recognize your favorite player if they were wearing a disguise? Ian?
So, I think, I mean, I only took, like, Psych 101, but I think I'm using this term correctly. I have a cognitive dissonance mm-hmm. about this, mm-hmm. in which I would definitely be fooled. Like, even if it was, you know, Derek Jeter, like, someone who's completely recognizable, I would definitely be fooled. Secondly, I watch these people, and everyone, I'm like, how are you fooled by this?
Like, I think about why that all is there, the time.
Why is there a Today Show set in the middle of the... Right. Like, how do you not realize something is happening?
I feel like that is the question, because maybe you just don't expect to see these people out and about, and if there's even some element of disguise, it's confusing, you know? Like, but then again, you also assume, presumably you've seen this on the internet before, so you're like, oh, that's probably that guy, right? Like, why would they just have a random guy that I've never seen in my life before on The Tonight Show asking these questions?
280 pounds.
That's also, he's a giant man.
He was sitting for a lot of it.
And if you saw Tonight Show desk, you'd be like, why isn't this a recurring Tonight Show character? Who is this random dude? You know?
If you don't watch The Tonight Show, more people don't watch The Tonight Show than do watch The Tonight Show.
This is true. Well, I feel like, I mean, Patrick Corbin tried to do this a while ago, but he did it at like the D-backs park, you know? And the entire video is people pretending they don't know who he is because they know it's supposed to be a bit.
I'll be honest. When you're removed from the context, I have no idea who you are. I live in New York. I live in New Jersey, but I live near New York. I'm in New York often. And I really don't feel as though I've seen that many celebrities since I've lived here. And I know that that's not true. I know they walk around. They're places. They're people. People tell stories of running into celebrities on the streets of New York. I don't ever notice them. And I was like, well, why don't I ever notice celebrities? This is terrible. But no, it's that I just don't recognize them because they're not being celebrities. They're just wandering around on the street. And I think that's true for baseball players. And I think it's very rare that I would see a baseball player without their uniform and hat and be like, oh, that is so-and-so. Unless it's like an extremely famous baseball player.
Yeah, and I think that's true of any athlete. Even so, though, like it's like if I saw like A-Rod at my deli, if he was wearing jeans and like a hoodie, I would be like, there's no way that's A-Rod, and I wouldn't speak to him.
You would know. You would doubt that it's A-Rod,
but I would be like,
that's
probably not A-Rod, right? Because I would think like, why isn't he wearing a nice suit? What is he doing in my weird deli?
If like JD Martinez was in your deli, you would be like,
I'd be like, wow, that guy looks like JD Martinez. I don't think it would enter into your mind. I truly think even with a super famous baseball player, because it's so out of context, like what Ian said, that you don't expect them to be in that situation, so you just can't even comprehend that that's who it would be.
I think that for a lot of them, though, like, it depends on the size. Like, A-Rod's like 6'3", he's mm-hmm. big, and that's like, Judge point. Is even bigger.
Right, right.
I think Patrick Corbin's like pretty normal size person.
Yeah.
But like, if it's a big dude, then you should be thinking like, oh, maybe that, I mean, not you should be, but like, you might be inclined to look twice if he's just like at your deli.
Yes. You know? As I have said many times on this podcast, I did one time see Tayshaun Prince in a Panera, and he gave the barista a different name as though no one would think he was Tayshaun Prince.
Like 6'11".
Yes.
In his defense, why would Tayshaun Prince be at a Panera?
His car, it was a minivan with spinners, okay?
Are you sure it was Tayshaun Prince?
Yes, it was. Have you absolutely had the bread Tayshaun bowl? Prince. It was 100% Tayshaun Prince. I've seen Rasheed Wallace in a Kroger, okay? Like, this is just
did
what
you
it is.
Did you say hi?
My dad said hi to Rasheed Wallace.
Detroit's an amazing place.
Yes.
Did he say Kroger, don't lie?
He did not say that.
That's what you're supposed to say to Rasheed if you ever see him out. He's a basketball player, if you're not familiar.
Yes.
The basketball player, because he's the basketball player.
Do you have a good celebrity sighting?
Not really. I mean, like I said, I just don't notice them when I'm wandering around on the street. Like, I saw John Hodgman on the subway going to a Mets game. That was it.
That's fun.
I was going to the Mets game. I don't know if he was. We were on the G. So, like, I don't know.
Could have been.
Who knows? That's like the extent of my celebrity sightings. Okay, but speaking of A-Rod, I want to talk about this. Because this to me, Aaron Judge is cool. The Tonight Show is cool. This is right in... This speaks to me. A-Rod, as you know, in addition to being a baseball player, is a very successful man of business. He is the CEO of A-Rod Corp, which is a corporation that does things. And if you want to know how I know that A-Rod Corp is a successful business, he has been invited to be a guest host on Shark Tank.
Whoa.
On ABC. This is, of course, the show with Mark Cuban and other people who are not Mark Cuban, where they put
Barbara
up their...
Barbara Corcoran?
Corcoran. Barbara Corcoran. Okay. She's a real estate mogul.
Yes.
There's some woman who's the queen of QVC. That's her title. Wow. So there are a lot of people on this show. There's one guy who looks like Mitt Romney who's on this show.
Is it Mitt Romney?
I thought it was Mitt Romney for a long time.
Successful businessman Mitt Romney?
Different guy, apparently.
Damon's on the show.
That's right. Damon John, FUBU fan, yes. I want to say, on the show. So there are many, many rich people, and they give people money to pursue their business dream. It's like a legit thing. It's more legit than some other game shows. At any rate, A-Rod will be one of the sharks on Shark Tank. Are you excited to watch this? Duh. I am.
Obviously. Though, I don't understand why the real CEO of A-Rod Corp, his daughter Natasha, is not actually one of the panelists on Shark
She
Tank.
Does seem to be the brains
yes,
behind A-Rod
obviously.
Corp.
Yes,
obviously.
Yes.
Ian, do you think you could get a deal with A-Rod?
Yes.
Okay. You don't think he would be one of these, like, real tough sharks who tries to do, like, a royalty deal and totally take all your money?
No, I think A-Rod's a people pleaser.
Yeah.
And... despite his, you know, care with his finances, that I could get him to invest in my non-existent business.
Do you have
business.
An idea for him to invest?
Wow.
I know, I'm putting you on the spot.
I know. I think I have to marinate on that a little longer.
Would it be like a used sports memorabilia company?
Ooh.
Your favorite thing?
That could be good.
Oh,
but like,
sharks.
But like not like sports memorabilia that anyone's ever worn on the field. It's just like, you know, like pants or like a sweatband.
As somebody who lived in New York, I think I could get him to invest in my idea, which I've talked about with you constantly.
I can't wait to see which one this is. There's so many.
I'm full of business ideas. I just want to say, A-Rod, I know you're listening.
Tom Haverford over here.
I have a lot of ideas. I was talking about the bathroom club.
Oh, you probably could.
Right?
You should take this.
It's like a gym membership, only it's a bathroom membership where you have many locations throughout New York City.
Yes, yes.
You pay money. You can use them at your leisure. There's an attendant there. It's very clean. It's nice. A-Rod, as somebody who's lived in New York City, would understand the need for that. That's a good business.
Someone who uses the bathroom.
That's a good business. I'm just saying.
I mean, yeah, you should try.
I have more ideas.
Well,
whatever.
You just
get
said
me,
it on
A-Rod.
The podcast, and now someone else is going to beat you to it and take
That's
it
fine.
To
Let
take
me.
A Shark
I'm going
to
be honest. If that just existed, I would be happy. I don't need any money from that. So if somebody wants to go do it, I'm telling you right now, I will not sue you.
I think you have a good shot on Shark Tank with that idea. Mark would be out. He'd say it's a good business, but not investable business.
That's true, because it's not proprietary.
Yes, the QVC lady would be out because you can't sell it on TV.
Yep.
Damon would be out because your idea is not exactly FUBU, and he's never invested in any other idea on
but
the
But he also
entire,
doesn't
like
fashion.
300 episodes of the show that I've watched.
He's always like, I know fashion, and this is not good for fashion. I don't want to be in that business. I'm out.
Mr. Wonderful would offer you $4 for 90% of the business.
He's my favorite. My dad always jokes that he looks like a shark. Like his face, he kind of looks
yes.
like a shark. He's great. Gemma, do you have a business idea?
I mean, I have no business
Come
ideas.
Come on, A-Rod's here. He's ready to buy. All right.
You do have a business idea. Your one meal day of meal kit. You don't have to do it in advance.
Yes.
But it's all the meal ingredients are already prepped, and you just go to a store and you buy it. QVC lady could be into it.
Yes, this is my this
single
is my
serving.
Idea. You walk into the grocery store. There's a basket. It comes in like, instead of
like
picking
a
up
little...
an empty basket, you pick up a full basket, which has all the ingredients that you need to cook your meal and the recipe in the basket. And you just buy that, you walk out, and you make your dinner. And you don't have to worry about scheduling a delivery or getting like six meals delivered in 1 week or any of the other issues with various meal delivery.
What I like about this product is that it sounds like something that you would advertise on a podcast. So I'm very into that. But before we move on, we want to take a minute to tell you about the MLB Pipeline podcast, which focuses on all things draft and prospect related. MLB Pipeline's draft and prospect gurus Jim Callis and Jonathan Mayo join Tim McMaster each week to talk about what's going on in the universe of MLB's future stars. This week, Jim, Jonathan, and Tim chatted with MLB.com's Jesse Sanchez about the top 30 international prospects and how new international signing rules will affect various MLB teams. Search for MLB Pipeline in iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts and click subscribe. That's MLB Pipeline. Subscribe. Okay, let's talk about this. Gemma, I know you were the one who really were like, we have to put this in the podcast.
Yes.
This has to be a thing that we talk about.
Yes.
Eric Sogard's daughter.
She's so
being
cute.
Deeply upset about the Padres. The Brewers-Padres game on Monday night went to extra innings. It was tied at 4. Sogard hit a go-ahead home run, but then the Padres had a chance to come back. And they did.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Hunter Renfro got the walk-off hit. The Padres won, and Eric Sogard's daughter just was not happy.
She was so sad. I don't think I've ever been that emotionally involved in anything in my entire life ever. She was just crying so hard, and her mom took a video, and she was just like weeping her little baby tears, and she was like, why didn't we win? Daddy got a home run. She's like, the other team got a home run too, and they won. She's like, why? No, they don't get a home run. Like, sorry, they did. It was very sweet. But then the Padres obviously felt bad for making a little girl cry, so they sent her like a giant thing of cotton candy,
good,
a box of cupcakes. Her face was somehow painted. She had like a pretty face paint thing going on the other day, and it was very adorable. I also liked how she decided to be spiteful back to them. Like, she offered one of the Padres crew members a bite of her cotton candy and snatched it back.
Ooh.
It was adorable.
Harsh.
Yes.
When's the last time sports made you cry?
Oh, the last time sports made me cry. That's actually really hard. I don't know. Do you guys know? Have you ever cried at sports?
I cried game 7. This past year, I cried during that game. I cried 3 times during that game. I'm not even a Cubs fan, and I cried 3 times during that game. Negatively, I haven't cried since I was 13, but I know the exact moment. But
what was it?
It was the... It was during the Carolina Panthers were in the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
The other time they were in the Super Bowl, and they were playing the New England Patriots. They were leading with about a minute and a half left. John Casey, our beloved kicker who was with the team up for the entirety of its existence up to that point, he kicked the ball out of bounds on the kickoff, which is illegal procedure. Patriots got the ball in the 40. Brady led them 20 yards or whatever, and they kicked the field goal and won. And I cried, and I was upset, and I was very upset because people were like, Tom Brady led this great comeback, and it was like, he drove the ball 20 yards, shut up.
Aww.
John Casey kicked the ball out of bounds, or else they would have lost. Anyway, Ian, when's the last time you cried?
I mean,
at sports.
This morning. I'm a Michigan fan, so I've cried several to many times. There is one incident which I'm reminded of frequently by friends. When I was at Michigan, some like friends from high school came and visited during my senior year, and we played Penn State, and after consuming several to many alcoholic beverages before the game, Michigan proceeded to get like destroyed by Penn State. And somewhere in the middle of the third quarter, I just was standing in the aisle of Michigan Stadium bawling my eyes out, yelling that I just wanted you guys to come see Michigan win.
This is like not good. Even an That's important a good game. One. Like,
it was a lost season anyway. I just really wanted them to get the full experience.
It's sad when you bring friends to a sporting event and your team loses.
Yeah.
That's really sad.
Aww, yes. That's really sweet.
I'm a New York Red Bulls season ticket holder. That's MLS for those of you who are not into the cool things.
Is that lacrosse?
Get out of here. I had an extra ticket this past weekend. I invited Gemma. She couldn't make it. It was happy thing that she couldn't make it because the Red Bulls lost, and I would have probably cried and said, I just want you to see the Red Bulls win.
Did you bring somebody else after Gemma couldn't make it?
No. No, I didn't.
Well,
I had no friends.
Guess I'll just catch you next time.
Didn't invite Ian. So rude.
I didn't think to text you.
I couldn't make it to New Jersey in time. That was my deal.
Yeah, it was the last minute. Anyway.
Yeah. I feel like I don't really, I just get like really withdrawn, like internal, like just, I don't really cry when I get upset about sports. Like when I was working at the sports bar and like the Red Sox eliminated the Tigers 2013. I was really sad. I didn't cry. Wait. I just went and hit.
When did that happen? 2013.
I hate you, and I just went in the kitchen and like hid in the kitchen.
But you didn't cry.
No, I didn't cry.
You've never cried at sports.
I've never cried at like the outcome of a game. I've cried because of sports things. Like Steve Yzerman's last game, I cried. Okay. But like it wasn't because of a result.
That counts.
Yeah, I just get emotional
about sports all the time.
Yeah.
Once a year I will happy cry about the Red Sox.
I did get really emotional when I see athletes crying, sometimes I sympathy cry. Mm-hmm. Like when Antoine Griezmann cried after France got knocked out of the World Cup, that made me really sad, so I got a little teary. Yeah.
Yeah, players crying when they get eliminated is really sad.
Yeah, it makes me really sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sad fans though. I don't care about that.
No. Sad children. I don't care about that.
I care about Sadie.
You care about
Sadie. She's good. Yes.
Sadie Søgaard, that's the daughter.
We should all get cupcakes when sports organizations make us cry. That's what should happen.
Let's move on. Because this is a crazy story. Gemma forced us to talk about that last one. I'm forcing us to talk about this one. Because I think this is insane, and I think it's kind of a sign of the end times. There was a lot of rain recently in the city of Toronto. That's in Canada, if you're not aware. And the Gibraltar Point Baseball Park on Toronto's Center Island. It's Canada, so Center Island is spelled weirdly. C-E-N-T-R-E. Canada.
You want to do an exaggerated Century. French accent?
Centre. Centre Island.
Yeah.
But it flooded this island, and the baseball field there, Gibraltar Point Baseball Park, has been overrun by carp.
Mm-hmm.
Fish. The field is flooded, and there's just a bunch of fish playing baseball on the field instead of people. And I think that that's upsetting. I think that the fish wanted to play baseball, and they decided to just take over our field.
Why are you
and
upset by this? You don't want the sport creepy. Of baseball to grow across species?
Here's the other. Well, but this is the other thing, is that it happened kind of suddenly. But then according to the Toronto Star, they can't do anything about it. And because they have to wait until the field stops flooding, which won't happen for like months. And then they're going to come and try to net them out once the water has receded. But like, it's just their field. They just took the field. What if this happens to like Fenway Park or to, you know, any other stadium? SunTrust Park? They just built that. What if the fish are like, no, this is our baseball stadium now. Dodger Stadium? Nope. It's ours. It's the fish's now. I find this upsetting.
I mean, so to what degree do you find, like, I mean, one could contend that there already are major league ballparks that belong to fish, like Marlins Park.
I guess. I never thought of it that way.
It's named after a fish.
But they're contained. They're contained. There's a fish tank, but they're in the tank, right? They're not on the field. I mean, yeah. the fish, like Giancarlo Stanton.
They're the fish, right?
I guess that's a good point.
Yes.
But they're not fish. Am I the only person upset by this? Ian, what is your thought on the fish taking over the baseball field? This is man's domain.
Man's domain?
A person's domain.
All people can play baseball, Dakota.
Person's domain.
I think that when you have a bunch of carp in one place, there's only one thing to do, and that is the gefilte fish dog.
Yes, this is the best opinion. Oh, yes.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take this carp. I'm pretty sure that's how you make gefilte fish. Never confirmed it.
Well, I don't have any idea what fish is in gefilte fish.
Yeah, I don't
know. Nobody does, but I think there's carp involved. Based on one story that I heard as a child in which there's like a carp in a bathtub.
How did that story end?
It became a gefilte.
You take the carp, you run it through like a snowblower, or like however you grind up.
What?
However you grind up like a what? Fish.
I just want to make it clear, no animals were harmed in the making of this podcast. I just want to make that very clear.
Never eat anything that Ian cooks, ever.
This is a really good example of why you should not, why Ian needs the
Yeah, he
the
invented
food
it for himself because
single
he cooks
surf
with thing. Garden appliances.
Guys, just
garden?
Stick with me. You need...
Okay.
I mean, have you seen a gefilte fish? It's like a log of carp.
Yeah,
somehow
like
you have
a,
to get the carp into
like
that shape.
It's like a fish
shape.
Meatball.
Yeah. So you take the gefilte
like
fish.
Like a, what's it called? A quenelle.
I don't know.
Go
what
away.
Watch some Food
get
Network, all right?
Anyway, whatever you want to use, like a meat grinder, you have a pile of brown gefilte fish. You mix in other undefined fish items, like onion, maybe in there. Anyway.
Horseradish, right?
Well, I'm getting to it. Once you have your log o gefilte fish, that goes on a bun, which is actually a knish that you just ripped out the middle of. Then you drop your log of gefilte fish in there. You top it with horseradish, the red kind, because the white kind is like a little too intense, even for me. And then you dip it into like, it's got like a dip, like a jus, but the jus is just borscht.
And this is what you eat while you watch the fish play baseball? So, that seems very dark. Cruel.
That's very dark.
Maybe the Blue Jays, just in homage.
I just want to say that I am bothered by the idea of fish taking over our baseball fields, but I don't think the answer is to kill them and cook them and eat them. That seems dark. That's too dark for me.
It's a tribute.
I would eat this. It sounds pretty interesting.
At any rate, we'll keep you updated on the fish that have taken over the ball field in Toronto. When they're finally cleared out, we will let you know so that you are not worried that Ian went and killed and ate them all in some sort of weird dish that he invented involving a snowblower.
I'm just picturing your kitchen like that scene from Fargo, but just with a carp.
I don't know how you make a carp into gefilte fish, okay? I just know somehow it gets from looking like a fish to looking like a meatball.
I can't with it. We'll talk after. I can't deal with this.
Let us now move on to the America's favorite game show, Meal or No Meal. Now, this
Meal, I already told you the recipe.
Gefilte fish dog.
No, this has nothing to do with gefilte fish. This has nothing to do with gefilte fish. I need you both to take Meal or No Meal with the seriousness that it deserves. On May 17th and 18th, the Fresno Grizzlies will be playing the Nashville Sounds, and they have a special dish. It is called the Chickle. It's impossible to say without laughing. The Chickle. It is spicy chicken, like hot chicken, Nashville-style hot chicken, stuffed into a pickle. It sort of looks like if you took the hot dog bun and replaced the bun with a pickle, and then instead of a hot dog, it's like pieces
That's
of
exactly
fried
what
chicken.
It looks like.
That's what it looks like. Meal or no meal, Ian?
Meal. Absolutely meal. I like fried chicken. I like Nashville fried chicken. And I love pickles. I will put pickle on any sandwich. I think the tang and the crunch is really what it adds that dimension, the vinegar acid.
Do you like artisanal pickles? Like when you see they're like in the handmade jar? Well, or are you like a Vlasic?
That depends how artisanal we're getting.
Okay.
All pickles are good unless they are like that weird two-day pickle that you sometimes get lately.
What?
That's just a cucumber that's been in brine for like 47 minutes and then they give it to you. Ugh, it's so lame. And they're like, oh, it's half sour. No, it's not half sour. Get that off my plate.
Can I tell you, my mind was blown when I learned that pickles were cucumbers, that it was the same thing. I was like, 10 maybe? This was last year. I was like 10 and I was like, how is that the same thing?
Do we how sour is the pickle that they use for this?
We don't
know.
I think it's sweet, but I could be wrong.
Like a bread and butter pickle?
I think so.
Okay. I don't hate that with the fried chicken, actually. That could kind of be a good contrast.
Chicken and waffles.
Yeah.
I just like it. I like them like dark. I want it like almost black, and I want it shriveled up so it's like the size of my thumb.
But then how are you going to put the chicken in it?
Gemma.
Just a lot of them.
Meal or no meal?
Oh, meal. Absolutely. Love pickles. Love fried chicken. I don't see how this could be bad. I go to the Pickle Festival every year in the Lower East Side. You guys should go. It's great.
There's a festival for everything.
You go to all the different pickle stands, and you can try them, and they make pickle roses.
What about the Whiskey Festival? I know that you're a fan
of that.
It's
real and great also, and it's also every day of my life, so thank you for bringing it up.
I was referring to your travails on Jeopardy.
Were you?
But
all right, whatever.
If you aren't familiar, Gemma was on Jeopardy.
Oh, my God. I was going to try to make the chickle, and now only Ian is invited, not you.
Gemma was on Jeopardy. And her final Jeopardy question,
this is so rude.
She got
this
it
is
wrong.
Like,
she answered the Whiskey
oh my
Festival.
God.
People need context.
This is I don't. I
people need
like
context.
This. I'm unhappy.
Gemma,
I'm very unhappy.
When you make the chickle, hear me out. You take the pickle. You rev up the snowblower.
Snowblowers should not be involved in any food preparation.
Is that how you think chicken is also cut up? You put it in like some kind of snowblower.
Mm-hmm. Then you have a net, and it just catches the.
I will say meal, but I am going to put a tiny caveat in here. So the best food in the world, as we all know, we can say it together, Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich. And my family has a test, which is wherever we eat somewhere, afterward, we're like, does it pass the Chick-fil-A test? Which is, would I have rather eaten at Chick-fil-A? And a surprising number of restaurants fail that test. This is not paid for by Chick-fil-A. This is just my own personal passion. The key component of the Chick-fil-A sandwich is, of course, again, we can all say it together, the pickle. And that is the best part of the chickle, is that you have the pickle and the fried chicken, which is essentially a deconstructed version of the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich. The one problem is that bread is good, and you want bread to be involved in a sandwich, and this isn't really a sandwich because there is no bread. All that said, it's still a meal. I just wish there was some sort of starchy bread.
Isn't component. The chicken breaded?
Yeah, probably. What I if there? I wonder if there are like breadcrumbs in it. Also, I feel like we can't really totally trust your opinions on any kind of like snacky junk food because you don't like cheese, just overall. So
Jeff's revenge. That's Jeffrey's story.
It's really weird. I mean, how do you? That's like if cheese is one of the best parts of any kind of food that you can eat.
Yeah, like cheese this would be fine. Improved by having a slice of cheese on it.
No, that's absurd. That is just patently absurd. It's like nobody says, oh, this Chick-fil-A sandwich is good, but you know what would make it better? Cheese. No one says that.
Do you not get cheese on burgers?
No.
It's weird.
That's not weird.
Why are you eating the burger, though?
Because
the burger
steak.
Is good. Just get a steak. It's a different food. It's a different thing.
Well done.
We're not going to go into that. It is now time to summarize our podcast into 140 characters. One bite-sized chunk. See what I did there? correctly condenses our podcast into one tiny, tiny bite. Ian, since you were doing weird things with gefilte fish, it is up to you to go first. What do you got?
Period. At caps lock. A-Rod. Hello, sharks. Today I am pitching my new pick it up at the supermarket meal service. Only equipment required is a snowblower.
Blocked.
A-Rod Gemma, is definitely going to block you.
Gemma, what is your tweet? Give us your tweet.
All right. Did some sport thing make you sad? Cheer yourself up with a gefilte fish dog. Snowblower included.
So Gemma, who is a writer / editor at a sports website, just had so much hostility in the word sports thing. I can't with you.
I couldn't think of what to call it, and that just came out.
Sports thing make you sad?
I want to say sports event, but that sounded too formal.
Whatever. Okay, here's my tweet.
As though it's like a whatever.
Here is my tweet. All caps. Breaking, : fish have taken over baseball stadiums around the world, period. I don't endorse this, but someone suggested a snowblower, period. # Fishgate.
Are you subtweeting me? I suggested the snowblower. I'm right here.
I also think that would have to be at least a two-tweet, like,
no, it's one. It's, I'm not going to thread tweets
well,
about
you had to,
because
I think you went
takeover.
Over the character limit there.
# Fishgate. Yeah. If you have a tweet
it's a
that...
screenshot of a notes app.
My official statement on Fishgate. If you have a tweet that more accurately and adequately summarizes our podcast in one bite-sized chunk, please tweet it at us at Cut4 with the # Cut4Cast. You can go to MLB.com/Cut4 to read about all of the topics that we talked about today. You can go to Facebook.com/Cut4, and we will appear in your newsfeed with fresh content, several H's on the end of the fresh content. Follow us on Twitter at Cut4. Do you have any questions for us? Well, we have an email address.
I have a lot of questions.
I'm sure you do. Cut4cast@mlb.com. That's cut4cast@mlb.com. Questions about baseball. Moral quandaries that you're in. Which team should I be a fan of? Which mascot is the best? How do you cook gefilte fish? Email cut4cast@mlb.com. That last one, you probably won't get a real answer. I'll be honest with you. This is a podcast. If you go to iTunes, type in the Cut4Cast. I don't know how you found us otherwise, but maybe you found us a different way. You can subscribe to us there. Hit the big button. We will appear in your phone. You can leave a review, 1 to 5 stars. Actually, take the time to type out a rating or a longer review. That helps other people find the show. Ian. thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Gemma, thank you, as always, for putting up with me and my exposing of your Jeopardy problems.
Unnecessary.
But mostly, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.